purpose for fasting, and we go over to Isaiah chapter 58. Let's just go over there and see what that looks like for us. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. The ushers have Bibles. Praise God. I'll give you one. Isaiah chapter 58. Now it talks quite a bit about fasting here. In verse 3 it talks about, "Wherefore have we fasted, and say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with fist at wickedness. And ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes unto him? Wilt thou call this a fast, and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest thy naked, that thou coverest him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward." Now, as you look at this, looking at the purpose of a fast and so forth, so it's obvious here that he is pointing people back to the right reasons to fast. So fasting, I can come up with a couple of kind of things that you might want to remember in this. When you fast and you've got something that you need the Lord's attention to, a matter that something's going on in your life, and it's not happening. And sometimes fasting is the way to break forth this thing, to make it happen. Now, understand that you haven't changed God's mind about anything, but what we do in this is we really subdue our flesh and position ourselves to really receive and be able to receive what God has already really prepared for us. So what I do is I pray on the front end of the fast what I would like to happen. And then I believe I've received it by faith on the front end. And then as I fast through, I see things break through and so forth and so on. And then sometimes even after the fast, things happen to my favor for, you know, a couple of 3, 4, 5 weeks. Even after the fast, things that just aren't happening. So some of the things that you do with a fast is let me just give you what I have in my notes. To receive power, and not to afflict oneself. So you're not trying to do it to abase yourself, trying to let somebody see how holy I am. But sometimes what fasting does, it subdues the flesh so that my spirit will be able to receive power, and my flesh will be subdued as I walk in the power of God. You'll see back, well, let's go there. Let's go over to Matthew's Gospel in chapter 4. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. Okay, in Matthew chapter 4, it says, this maybe not be the best one. Verse 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Let's go over to Luke's gospel, if you will, to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. All right, Luke chapter 4, look at verse 14. And Jesus returned in the what? Power of the Spirit unto Galilee. And that's when he started his ministry. So what happens sometimes during a fast is as that flesh goes under, you'll find that the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, flows through you much easier. And you can return in the power of the Spirit. And you'll find that things, because of that spiritual power flowing through you, things that have been in the way will get out of the way. fasting also enhances a speedy release of things that perhaps had been against you or holding you back or something like that. And fasting enhances your strength to loose the bands of wickedness. Fasting enhances your strength to loose the bands of wickedness. It is a spiritual device that receives the power and anointing of God, that enables us to receive the power and anointing of God to remove wickedness and burdens and so forth like that. So you see some things that have been troubling you. You go through a fast sometimes, those things are to get removed. I say here, it empowers you to destroy all yokes by yourself. In other words, you can get those yokes destroyed in that. We know that God is responsible for the anointing to do it, but he doesn't have to do it for you. You can do it yourself. Also, in fasting, it's not just some kind of religious exercise, but it's actually something that Jesus talked about us doing, and he didn't say if you fast, he said when you fast, okay? And, I just got some notes here myself. It's a way of subduing the body to exalt the spirit. It's a way of subduing the body to exalt the spirit. It enables your spirit to control your body. And when you fast, you actually cause the flesh to go under and be subdued so that the spirit can rise. Also fasting, I got it all down here. This is the first time I'm reading my notes here. During a fast, you move from ordinary to extraordinary. During a fast, you move from ordinary to extraordinary. And sometimes people's motives are not right and our hearts are not right. The Bible talks in the Old Testament that the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, we know a lot of that is Old Testament. But nevertheless, you'll find that sometimes when you fast, you can see things about yourself that you didn't see before. And it can help you get yourself, in line. Fasting also, let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. All right, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 27. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Now, who is this talking? Anybody know? The Apostle Paul. So that's what he was fasting for, and it kept him constantly built up with power that he could do things. And it is a way of refilling the lamp in your life. It's a way of refilling the lamp in your life. You know, when that lamp, that oil in that lamp is down, it's interesting. People can get and pray, but they don't feel like they're connecting with God. And you'll find that when you do fast, you'll find that you sense a real connection. There's a connection there that you can have with God. Now, I'm only going through this because I just don't want people to look at fasting as some religious exercise. But fasting really has something that can help sustain the anointing that is in your life. It's a vital spiritual exercise that mature believers are to really take part in. And you can fast all kinds of ways. Like we said, there's the Daniel fast. Let's go over there real quick. Go over to Daniel chapter 10. All right, let me know when you're there. Say praise the Lord. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. Now, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh or wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. So he ate no pleasant bread, neither flesh nor wine in his mouth. So right there it says that during that fast he ate no meat. Can we say that? And also no pleasant bread. Anybody know what that is? Amen. That's what you really like. You ate some cakes and pies and so forth. So he didn't eat that. Now, so what was he doing? It's called a consecration, consecrating himself to God so that he can get the clarity from God. And I do that sometimes. When we first started the ministry, I really kind of had to watch it because I didn't know it, but I was really, I didn't go on fast and come off fast like I should have, because I would go on a fast for a week, and then I'd come off for a day, and I said, man, I need to fast some more, and I'd go on for another week. But I would not drink water like I should, and when I came off, I would eat two heavier foods at once. For maybe going for 3 weeks or something and eat heavy food. You can't do that. You've got to start off with something very soft, some broth or something like that, and then work your way back into it. So, and that's what I really need to do to start the ministry, because where I was going, God wanted to take me. And it wasn't me that having to feel like I had to struggle to do the fast. I mean, it was something that God called me on. And when he calls you on the fast, he imparts a grace for you to just go through it. You just don't feel like you're hungry. And so I speak that to you right now, that whatever fast you're on, the grace of God is going to be on your life right now. Whoever's in the sound of my voice, that you'll go to it and it will not be agony going through this fast in the name of Jesus. All right. So for God to increase in our lives, we have to decrease. And fasting is giving God the place that food used to occupy. And so it's separating from food and separating unto God. Now, the last thing is when you do fast or as you fast, take more time and study the Word of God. Just go through it and so forth. Now, there are great benefits out of fasting. In fasting, one of the things that happens is a clarity. Sometimes you can hear from God a lot clearer during a fast, because you'd be surprised how much noise there is in our system. You know, just daily, just noise, man. And sometimes just turn the plate down one day, you know, and you can tell the difference the next day and so forth. But there's a lot of noise. Also, in Acts chapter 13, you don't need to turn there, verses 2 and 3, they fasted to pray over those people that were going out to evangelize or to start churches, and they'd pray and fast before they sent them out. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, let's go over there, please, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now, I'm not saying you have to go on a long fast. You take people like Kenneth Hagin. Brother Hagin, I think, said he never went on over a three-day fast, and God used him mightily. So it depends on a person, depends on what you feel God is calling you to do, and so forth. Jesus fasted for 40 days here. And fasting, look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And look at verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other besides the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle." So all these folks kind of confederated to come against Jehoshaphat. Verse 2. "Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea, on this side Syria. And behold, they be in," I won't try to pronounce that, "Hazar-Tamar, which is in Engedi." All right, thank you, I appreciate it. "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed" what? "A fast throughout" what? "All Judah." So they gathered themselves together and so forth and so on. Now, in the midst of that, verse 12, Jehoshaphat prayed, and here's the end of his prayer. "O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeriel. And ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them. For the Lord will be with you." Praise God. So that was great deliverance and great victory that he got in terms of fasting and fasting for deliverance. Over in Mark chapter 9, verse 29, remember the young boy who had the demon spirit? He got delivered, and Jesus said, "This one cometh out with nothing but" what? "Fasting and prayer." All right, and you have people who in recent times, a guy named R.G. Letourneau, he is a very strong Christian believer, but he is also a shipbuilder. And Letourneau had a concern of building ships for the military. And he would build them, and they needed them built quickly, and he would try to do that. But when he flipped the ship, it came out of the factory, and he flipped it right side up, the rivets would start popping. And so he didn't know what to do. So what happened? And this is what I heard now about it, is that he fasted 4 days. And on that fourth day, the Lord spoke to him and showed him how to build a ship a day. and he began to do that a day. So it's a great benefit in fasting. You can hear from God. Things that seem to have been in the way, seem God gives release on these things. But what I told you to do is make your request up front and at the beginning of your fast. And then Mark 11:24, believe you receive when you pray. And then go through and watch God deliver. Amen? Amen.